Chapter 5. The towering mech raced through its paces, relatively nimble for a machine that size, though it would periodically sound the stability parameter warning alarm. Keeping it balanced on 2 feet was an ongoing challenge despite the automatic gate moderation gyros. Charlie deftly maneuvered the mech around a series of lower obstacles, narrowly avoiding the do not step items at the lower edge of his field of vision as they illuminated on his heads-up display.
Faster, Charlie. Clock's ticking, Rika said over the pilot's cabin speaker. I know,
he grumbled, increasing his pace as he neared the most difficult portion of the sequence. Walking and even running a bit were becoming easier, but approaching the water obstacle required not only speed, but also timing, trajectory planning, and agility, should he hope to stick the landing on the other side and not stumble and fall back with a splash, as he'd done so many times before. The mech turned at his command and began moving with increasing speed, its massive feet thundering on the ground as it approached the reflecting pool. Charlie knew the correct angle he had to launch at, as well as the speed, and even which foot to lead with. It was putting all of that together while strapped into the cockpit of a man-shaped machine that was the hard part. He feathered the controls as he approached the edge at speed.
Come on, Charlie, you can do this, he assured himself.
10 steps to go. 6, 3. He pulled the controls, applying a little body English from his seat as the mech leapt into the air, willing it to follow the trajectory he had set for it. Amazingly, it seemed that, for once, it was working. 2 enormous feet landed firmly on the other side of the water, the lengthy expanse cleared in a single bound. Warning lights flashed as the machine began teetering, first to the left, then backward toward the water.
Oh, no you don't, not this time.
Charlie pivoted the knees and threw the arms forward at an angle, counteracting the balance irregularity. One by one, the red lights dimmed until the mech was standing upright and secure on the far shore. Charlie allowed himself a little victorious grin, then quickly headed off to the final series of maneuvers. 4 minutes later, he powered down and unstrapped from his seat.
Not bad, Galt, not bad at all.
Thanks, Rika, he replied, hopping from the gimbal-mounted simulation chair.
Finally stuck the water landing.
That one's been a consistent problem for me.
I've seen, she said with a grin. Repeatedly, in fact. You've really improved these last few months.
Thanks to your help.
Hey, I only gave advice. You're the one who built the thing.
I'm just a small part in a big machine that built it. And you need to give yourself more credit. Engineering know-how only goes so far. The pilot's input proved invaluable in resolving those last few maneuverability issues. Rika took a long sip from her electrolyte bottle.
So? She asked quizzically.
No way, Charlie replied before she could finish her thought.
Oh, come on, Charlie. Aren't you even a little bit curious?
Curious enough to crash Mr. Milbury's new space robot? I'll take a hard pass, thank you very much.
It was only a little tumble last time, and it didn't damage anything. A little paint, and no one even noticed.
That thing's built tough as nails, she replied.
Nope, I'll leave the piloting to you. A simulation is one thing, but sitting in the pilot seat of a multi-billion-dollar machine, then having it topple over, is not something I want to repeat.
It had been one of the very early iterations of the mech that Charlie had his mishap with, and there had been no real damage caused. Hell, the machine was so sturdily built it would take quite a lot more than merely falling over to cause any damage to it. But Charlie had bruised something else in the process, and pride took a lot more to repair than a few nuts and bolts.
Come on, Rika said, heading for the door. If you're gonna chicken shit out of giving the actual mech a real whirl, then you owe me a solid hour, mister.
Can't we skip it today? He groaned.
Nope. You've already dropped 8 kilos since we got here. That's an excellent start. With you kicking my ass regularly, it's no surprise. Hey, like it or not, you've been stuck in the flight crew, and the captain will not be amused if his engineer passes out, or, heaven forbid, has an embolism because of the extra weight he's carrying around.
I won't die, I promise.
You say that, and going weightless in space will be fine, but the G's you'll pull during launch are no cakewalk, and despite our simulations and data from the moon test, we really don't know all of the pressures a jump from Earth to Mars will put on our bodies.
Charlie picked up his bag and followed her out the door.
Fine, let's get this over with, he grumbled.
She shot him a good-natured smile.
Excellent. I have some agility drills and plyometrics lined up for you today. Oh, lucky me, he said with a pained laugh, as the mission's second-in-command led him toward another torturous workout. Since Charlie had been abruptly added to the flight roster, Rika had taken it upon herself to get the lone, non-compliant crew member in shape for the voyage. At first, it was an effort even getting him through the most simple of workouts, but the soft man hadn't always been that way, and the old muscles were quickly making a return. Now, if she could only help him shed those years of junk food that were hiding them. Every day they would train, and every day he would gripe and moan about it. But beneath that complaining, Charlie was actually kind of glad to see his old self returning. Not only that, he had made a new friend in the process. One he was glad would have his back when he reluctantly made his trip to the stars.